Mark, what's going on?
Oh, man, out here in San Antonio, about to go to a game that also has a playoff picture to it. You know, Warriors, San Antonio, Spurs, they're down by 2.5 games. And certainly a win tonight could help their cause of trying to leapfrog the Warriors.
Everybody going to play in that game?
That's what I was going to ask.
Well, from the Warriors' standpoint, I believe so. I talked to Draymond Green after the game last night in Houston, and he told me he was definitely playing. So, obviously, Kevin Durant won't be there, but, you know, this is a team that's won 7 games in a row. I just think that it won't give us what I think we had hoped for all season, which was, you know, the time to see these two teams really go at it. I think it was a mistake to have him play the first game of the season when Kevin Durant was trying to figure it out. It was just his first game. And then the other times, you know, he was hurt. So I don't think he'll play in the Spurs or play against the Spurs in their last 3 meetings. So it's not the showdowns we had expected. And so I don't know that we'll truly see what these guys can be against each other unless they meet in the Western Conference Finals.
Mark, what should people take out of the Cleveland Cavaliers right now? They're on a 2-game losing streak. Boston have overtaken them for the 1 seed in the East. They're obviously on a 4-game win streak. Anything to be concerned about if you're a Cavs fan?
It's a little surprising. You know, Kyrie Irving's beating himself up. He's going to shoot after games for 45 minutes on the road. That's certainly telling, but I don't know that that's really his fault all the way. They have an aged team, an older team, and maybe that might get to him a little bit. Now, keep in mind that when you get to the playoffs, it's typically a day or two off between games. There's no back-to-back, so that will help this team. But I've kind of wondered, you know, at what point do the Warriors or even Cavaliers start getting a little weary? And I remember when the Pistons went to the Eastern Conference Finals in the early 2000s, like 6 years in a row, and they were trying to make a third straight finals bid, and they just ran out of gas, man. They were tired. So the Cavs are starting to maybe look right now like that tired team that's just played so many games. They're a little worn down, but there's still a lot of basketball to be played. That being said, I'm sure it would be a huge boost for the Boston Celtics to get home court advantage and perhaps home court in the Eastern Conference Finals.
ESPN ranked the coaches in the NBA 1 through 30. No surprise, Pop's at the top, Kerr's next, Brad Stevens third. Locally, the intrigue comes with Quinn Snyder being the 7th-ranked coach. And I know these only mean so much, and it's a list for people to read and consider and things like that, but
it was 30. Who would have bought a 3?
Let me scroll down here for you. The 30 was Fred Hoiberg. 29 is Jeff Hornacek. Yeah. People don't like seeing that because there's a lot of love for him here. Alvin Gentry at 28. Earl Watson at 27. Nate McMillan at 26. Kenny Atkinson at 25.
Like, how do you come up with that list? That's weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man.
That's my own employer, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible. That's interesting. I don't know if I feel comfortable being the one to put that list together. With that being said, you know, I think your guy there certainly will get Coach of the Year consideration. I don't know that he'd win it, but he probably will get some votes, some consideration. It's been a great turnaround year for the Jazz. And, you know, from the GM standpoint, you could certainly give some kudos there as well for the moves that have been made to make this team. And we talked about it last season. I just remember I said I felt like it was too young. And now you add some veteran guys that really have evened this team out and brought some experience, will be valuable in the playoffs. So I know, you know, probably Bob Myers is going to get most of the attention because he's got Kevin Durant to go and stay. But, you know, the Jazz certainly deserve a lot of attention, too, for what they did to vault this team into not just a playoff team, but into, dare I say, it might sound weird to hear it, a Western Conference power.
Mark, let's look towards tonight's matchup, Jazz and Kings. The Jazz currently sit in 4th place. Kings are all the way down at 13th, yet The Kings are coming off two wins against the Clippers and the Grizzlies. How dangerous is this for the Utah Jazz tonight?
Yeah, you got to take them serious. I mean, they're a scrappy bunch. They play hard. I saw that at that win they got in Los Angeles against the Clippers. Doesn't scare you. I don't know what will. They came back from 15 with 5 minutes left. Amazing. A super amazing comeback. And so, you know, I think a lot of teams, when they play them, you don't see Cousins there anymore. You don't see Rudy Gay. You're not going to get too excited. But I'm telling you, man, this team is a scrappy, hard-playing, running, fast-breaking bunch. Willie Cauley-Stein's really got it going. Buddy Hield, who they got from the Pelicans in the Cousins trade, he's starting to put together a pretty decent rookie season, playing like we had expected him to play coming in. So you got to show up, and they're basically playing without any pressure, playing like spoilers, and just having fun. And that's a team you definitely have to be careful for, and if you lose to them, it's one of those losses that down the line you're really kicking yourself.
When we talk about the Jazz home stretch, a lot of folks think that holding on to that four seed is massively important. Is it so important that it might be the difference between getting out of the first round and just making a brief appearance in these playoffs?
It could be. For you guys, yes, because this is new. I mean, like, how many guys have actually played in the playoffs on the team?
Well, none of the starters, basically.
Yeah. None of the starters, you know, obviously Joe has and Boris has and George has. But there's going to be some nervousness from a lot of key guys, from your stars, when they go in there for the first time. And if you could have a game in Vivint, is that what you said? Vivint?
Yeah, Vivint. Yeah.
Yeah. Is what they call it today, Vivint.
The Viv.
If you could start there, I think it relaxes you, makes you more comfortable. It helps your routine a little bit because you're not on the road. And you always got that sixth man cheering you on. So, you know, when you're Golden State, when you're like San Antonio doesn't so much care about it, because they feel like to win a series, you got to win on the road at some point anyway. When you're a young team with young stars still trying to taste your first playoff game, it would be a lot easier to do that in your own town than to do it on the road against the Clippers or whoever else.
When you look at this Utah Jazz outfit and you know, they're going to play in the playoffs, how concerning is it? I mean, against the Pelicans the other night, they had 4 point guards get minutes. George Hill, Dante Exum, Raul Neto, and then Shelvin Mack even got in the game. This late in the season, there is still not an established backup point guard role on this franchise. How concerning is that?
It is that, you know, I wish they had another veteran guy that you could go to, especially in the postseason. Are you guys confident in Exum? No, I guess not. You know, I didn't get a response. Can you
hear me? Yeah, we can hear you. Big French was just talking in our earpiece. What did you say, Mark?
I said it was kind of crickets there. I said, but yeah, I assume you guys don't have confidence in Exum.
Well, we don't know. There are games where he looks really good and his ability to get to the net is phenomenal, and then there are other games where he couldn't throw a golf ball in the ocean if he tried, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, now it's like almost – it's too late in the game to bring in somebody else to be a part of it. You're going to have to lean on him and hope that he takes a leap forward from a maturity standpoint, from a playing standpoint. Let's see. I'm not going to hold my breath on it. Because he's still growing as a player. But yeah, I mean, that look, when the playoffs come, George can play more minutes because he's going to get more rest. There's going to be 1 or 2 days off.
Right.
Between games. So you could, the star guys could play two or three minutes more. So it's not that that doesn't mean that the backup point guard spot isn't important. It just means that, you know, your key guys, if they stay out of foul trouble, you'll probably see them on the floor more. And they'll try to make up for that weakness that way.
Mark, before we let you go, James Harden said something about to be an MVP, you should play 82 games or as close to 82 as physically possible for you. Like, if you're actually injured, that's understandable, but you should be playing most games. You got to vote, right?
I do.
Is that going to affect the way that you cast your vote, whether a guy rested for the sake of resting?
I look at the whole body of work. I'm probably one of the last guys to vote. I don't rush. I wait to the day after the regular season ends and you have, like, to that late afternoon to get him in. And I sit there and, I really take it serious. That's something to think about, how many games played, certainly. But I think about for MVP, their offensive stats, their defensive stats. I take everything into consideration. How much trouble did they get into during the season, or did they get in any trouble? All those kind of things. So it definitely is the reason why Kevin Durant won't get considered, because he only played in like 50-something games. But if it's between the difference between voting somebody for 82 and voting for somebody who's played like 82 games versus 75, I don't know that that's really a big deal.
What's more important, playing 82 games where you only play offense, or like if you do 70 games where you play both ends of the floor?
What'd you say?
I said if James Harden wants to play 82 games but he never plays any defense, is that more important or is that more impressive than maybe only playing 70 games but you also have defensive stats and a defensive presence?
Yes. He's averaging a steal and a half. So what? I think there's an improvement. I think Jeff Bozdelic has helped him play a lot better at the defensive spot. But, I still think that's something that could be held against him. I don't know how much of it's reputation. I don't know how much of it's reputation, and I don't know how much of it is fact. I got to sit down there and watch him defend more during the games, but I think people are so in awe of him offensively that you kind of lose track to whether he's good or bad or how much he's improved.
Well, looking forward to the games tonight. Looking forward to talking with you again next week, and thanks for taking the time as always, Mark.
All right, man. Am I going to get my Utah time or what? What's the deal?
They're in, man. They already clinched. So you're going to get out here for the playoffs.
I need second round now. I'm being greedy.
The people around here are okay with that. Be greedy and get here in the second round, and no one in Salt Lake City is going to be mad about it.
Guys out to Oakland, y'all get to come out there, and we'll hang out and have a good time.
I'm all right with it. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yes, it would. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.